But of course, today is old-fashioned day, and today is the day we're going to do what the Bible tells us to do in the book of Isaiah. Over there in the last part of the book of Isaiah, it says to remember the rock from which you've been hewn. Remember what they were talking about there were Abraham and the people that you got your start from. And that's what we try to do when we have old-fashioned day, is to remember those that have gone before. Now, there are some things that have gone before. It's nice to think about, but I'm glad they're gone. And I'll mention a couple of those things, and I think most of you will agree with me. I'm glad we don't have to go and get our water out of the well. Glad we don't have to get out early in the morning, drop a bucket in the well, and haul that bucket up. And in fact, I'm even glad that we don't have to have pumps. That you have to pump by hand to get the water. I'm glad we can just go turn on the faucet and the water comes out. I don't understand everything behind that, but I'm glad it works the way that it works. I'm glad there's not a little house at the end of the path that we have to use anymore. I'm glad that we have indoor facilities. And they did away with the corn cob and the Sears and Roebuck pages, and somebody invented toilet paper. Praise the Lord for toilet paper. Now, I know some of you may miss that, and you say, well, you weren't even old enough to experience that, and I'm glad that I'm young enough to have avoided that. I'm glad that we have showers. I'm glad that we don't have to take baths in galvanized tubs anymore. Corey, if you were the youngest, you'd be the last one in the tub, bud. Everybody else would take their bath before you. I'm glad we have showers. I'm glad we have cranks on the front of cars. I'm glad that you can turn a key and the engine will start and you don't have to get out there and crank the car. And I'm glad we have stoves. I'm glad you don't have to cut wood and build a fire to cook. I'm glad we got gas and electricity. We can just turn on the stoves and all that. And so there are some things, and there may be other things that come to your mind that you've either read about or some of you that are a little bit older have experienced that you can say, boy, those were the good old days, but I'm glad the good old days are gone. And I'm glad we have modern conveniences. But there's some things in the good old days that we should not mess with. There's some things that our forefathers and our foremothers had we ought to stick to, that we ought to not change. And that's what God was saying in that verse that Brother Chuck read this morning for our scripture reading in Deuteronomy chapter 19, where he says, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Now, a landmark, let me just give you build a basis for which my message will be built upon this morning, and then I want to talk to you about three landmarks that we have today that we should not change. But back in Bible days, back in the days that the Deuteronomy was penned, back in the days of Moses, a landmark was either a natural thing that occurred in nature, like a big rock or a mountain or a river or a creek, or it was a man-made object, like a pile of rocks, or like a stake, something like that. A property line is a good example of a landmark. When Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land, they divided up among the tribes the different sections of the land. And you go back and you read in the book of Joshua, and they used different things to divide up the land. They used cities, they used rivers, they used valleys, they used different things to divide up the land. And when they got down to particular families, the families would plow a double furrow, a double plow stroke, whatever you want to call it, around their particular piece of property to mark out what was theirs. And what God is saying is, when you set up those landmarks, when I've identified those things that I want to be landmarks, those things that I either put there or I directed you to put there, he says, I don't want you to move them. Now, he didn't say this in this one place in the Bible. He says it many times in the Bible. He says in Deuteronomy later on in chapter 27, cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. In the book of Hosea, chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "The princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound or removed the landmark. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water." God says, if you want to get me mad, if you want to get me angry, then start moving those things that I've put in place as landmarks. Just go ahead and move them, and I'm going to get angry with you. I don't want you to move them. Now, why? Why? Three reasons. Three. And again, this is still my introduction. I'm going to get to my message in just a moment, and I can smell the smells that are coming from the kitchen just like you can. And I'm just as hungry as you can, as you are. And so, and just hang on. I'm gonna make sure we get out there in time for dinner. But there were three purposes that landmarks served. Number one, they served as boundaries. We've already talked about it. The landmarks marked out property. When Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land, they used rivers, they used cities, they used different piles of rocks, different things, mountains that God has put there to mark their property. Now, we do the same thing today. I mean, we use stakes that mark the corners of our property. And we describe that property in technical kind of terms so that we know where our boundaries are. It's important for other people to know where our boundaries are, but it's also important for us to know where our boundaries are. You would not want to build your house across your property line. Right, Bill? That could be very expensive. You would not want to build your barn on somebody else's property. Boundaries are important so that we know the bounds that we need to stay within on our property. So they serve as a boundary. Number two, a landmark sometimes served as a reminder. When you saw a landmark, you were reminded of something. In Genesis chapter, talking about bugs, there's getting ahead of my sermon. In the book of Genesis chapter 31, when Jacob was fleeing from Laban with his wives and his children, Laban caught up with him, and they made an agreement. And as a token of that agreement, they set up a pile of stones. And their agreement was that they would not, either one of them, pass that pile of stones to cause the other one harm. And so every time they saw that pile of stones, they were reminded of that covenant that they made with one another. In Genesis chapter 35, Jacob's wife Rachel dies. And the Bible says he raised up a pile of stones to remember her, to remember the love that he had for her and the life that they had together. In Joshua chapter 4, when they were crossing the Jordan River to go into the promised land, and God cut off the waters and made a dry path through the Jordan River, God told Joshua, "I want you to get a pile of stones, 12 of them, one for every tribe. Pile them up in the middle of the river so that any time people see that pile of stones, they'll remember how good God was to you." And there are many other examples in the Bible that where a landmark served as a reminder. And then number three, landmarks served as direction givers. I mean, you got your instructions for how to get to somewhere by following the landmarks. How many of you ever got instructions like this? Go down to the big oak tree, turn to the right, go down past three driveways, turn to the left, and you're there. I mean, we use landmarks. They used them back then. We use them today to give people directions on how to get someplace. Of course, the biggest, or probably the most famous landmark, the landmark that's been used the most for directions, is probably the North Star. When you can see the North Star, you can know which direction that you need to go. And so, landmarks back in the time of Moses, back when the book of Deuteronomy was written, they served as boundaries, they served as reminders, and they served as direction givers. Now, I submit to you today that we still have landmarks. And those landmarks serve the same purposes. They mark out boundaries. They remind us of things. Hey, we go to a cemetery and we have headstones. Those are landmarks. They are reminders of those that lay in the grave there. And they still are used for direction. And there are some things that our forefathers had for landmarks that served these three purposes, that tell us what our boundaries are, that remind us of things, and that give us direction. There are some landmarks that our forefathers had that God says to us today, don't you move. Keep your hands off of them. Leave them right where they are, because I intended for them to be landmarks in your life, and I'm going to be angry if you move them. And I'm going to pour out my wrath upon you if you move them. So this morning, now here's my message. 3 points. 3 landmarks that we have that we should not move. Number one, don't move the Bible. Don't move the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. It always has been, and it always will be. It has always existed. You say, well, way back before God created the heaven and the earth, this wasn't written down. No, it wasn't written down, but it was in the mind of God. It's always existed. The Word of God is eternal. Psalms 119:89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And there are people that are devoting a lot of time and a lot of attention to arguing about whether the Bible is the Word of God. Why don't they just leave it alone? Why don't they not mess with it? Just let it leave it where it's planted. Let it be a landmark of God that the Bible is the Word of God. Always has been, always will be. Doesn't just contain the Word of God, not just contain the thoughts of God, but word for word, apostrophe for apostrophe, jot for jot and tittle for tittle, as it says about itself, the Bible is the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we ought to just make up our mind today, again, as I ask you to over and over again on occasion, we ought to just make up our mind today that we're going to decide and we're going to stand and we're not going to be plucked up and we're not going to be moved and we're not going to be swayed by those that have more education than we do, than those that have more experience than we do. We're going to stick with this book as the Word of God. And by the way, I know some of you don't agree with me, but I don't base my preaching on whether you agree with me or not. I think you ought to stick to the King James version of the Bible. Not the New King James, but the Old King James, the 1611 King James version of the Bible. I know some of you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, I'm sorry, you're not trying very much. You can understand it. I know it's got big words in it, thee and thou and art and all those other ones. But I tell you what, I was able to understand it as a little boy. It was the Bible that my grandparents read to me, and I understood the stories that they told me from that book. And I don't have time to read all the new versions that come out, so I'm going to stick to this one right here, ask you to do the same thing. I don't care if you read the other ones, but don't think you're reading the Bible. Read this one. Stick to this one, the Word of God. Don't move it. Number two, don't move the church. The church is a landmark. People today are messing around with the church. They're turning into things that God never intended it for it to be. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, Jesus said. And God's intent is for this church to be a landmark. God's intent is for this church to serve the three purposes that a landmark serves. I'm gonna park here for a little bit because I want you to get this. A church is a landmark because a church should set boundaries. A church should set boundaries based on this book. Things that used to be wrong are not right just because 50 years have passed. Things that were wrong in the past are not right just because we have more supposedly enlightened thinking today. Things that are wrong according to this book that were wrong back in the 1700s and the 1800s and the early 1900s are still wrong today because this book hasn't changed. We can call it all sorts of things we want to call it. We can call it alternative lifestyles, but it's still a sin. We can call it a mother's choice, but it's still a sin. We can dress it up and we can call it all sorts of sickness, but God still calls it a sin. Let's not move off the fact that a church using the Bible is supposed to set boundaries. Here's what we've done. Hey, Corey, you and Aaron, come up here and help me, would you? Here's what we've done. Steve, you come up here too, would you? Corey, you stand right here. Aaron, you stand right here. And Steve, you come here and stand in the middle. All right, here's what we've done. See, we're using the Word of God, the church is supposed to set boundaries. Aaron's going to be one boundary. Corey's going to be the other boundary. Steve's the guy that needs to stay with inside the boundaries. I mean, and we used to have real, in fact, Baptists especially, we used to have real strict boundaries. I mean, we used to have narrow lines that defined what was right and wrong. But here's what's happened. People started moving the boundaries a little bit. Okay? No, you don't move yet. And start moving the boundaries. All right? Now we got this wide path. I mean, what was wrong before? I mean, if Steve moved over here before when Corey or when Aaron was standing here, somebody would say, that's wrong. But we've moved the boundaries so far that now he can do that and we can say that's right. And I want to tell you something. The boundaries, when they were right here, were the place that God put them. It wasn't God that moved them. It was man that moved them. Why? So that we could get out of this little tight place that we were in. So that we could decide what was right and wrong and still stay within the boundaries. And I'm for doing what God told us to do. I'm for getting right in the center and keeping the boundaries so close to each other that when we step over those boundaries, there's not a doubt in our mind that we're doing wrong. I want to teach the little kids like this, that there is a difference between right and wrong, and that God, and it's not man that defines what's wrong, it's God that defines what's wrong. And we can call it anything we want, but it's still wrong, and you step outside the boundaries, God says you're in sin. So, a church using the Bible sets boundaries. You guys sit down just for a second right there. I'm going to use you again in just a second. A church using the Word of God also reminds us or needs to remind us as a landmark of what God's done for us. Church ought to do that, using the Bible. We ought to be reminded when we come to this place about how much God loves us. We ought to be reminded when we come to this place what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We ought to be reminded when we come to this place of the Holy Spirit that God gives us that helps us live every day of our life. Who else is going to remind you of that? They aren't going to do that on CNN. They aren't going to do it on ABC or NBC or CBS. None of them are going to remind you how good God's been to you. They may talk about God and they may have a few programs that portray God in a good light, but I'll tell you what, they're few and far between. The world would do away with God. And I'm glad that he said, hey, I got a landmark I don't want you to mess with. I don't want you to move. I want the church to be a landmark. Using the Bible, that's a landmark. And I want that church to remind you of how good God has been to you. And then number three, a church needs to be a direction giver. It needs to, again, using the Bible, it needs to give directions. All right, you guys come here again. Steve, you over there by the wall. And Corey, you stand right there. And Aaron, you go over there and stand against that wall. Okay? Now I'm going to illustrate how it works in the world, and then I'm going to illustrate how it works spiritually. Okay? Hey, Steve, I'm going to give you some directions how to get to that back door back there. Okay? All right. I want you to go one aisle past where Corey's standing, and then turn to the left. Okay? Go on, to the back. Oh, keep going. Okay, good. Did he follow my instructions? Did he use the landmark? Corey's landmark. I said, told him to go one aisle past where Corey's standing, turn to the left, and go to the door. Okay, Steve, come back up here. Go back over there where you started. I like it when they ask for instructions. I wish I could get my kids to do that. Okay, now here's what happens. Somebody decides, well, I got a better way. I'm going to pluck up this landmark, and I'm going to move it over here. Now, I'm going to go back. I'm going to give Steve the same set of instructions. Hey, Steve, to get to that back door back there, I want you to go one aisle past Corey, turn to the left, and go to the back. Did he follow my instructions? Yes, he did. Is he at the place where he's supposed to be? No. He's at the wrong door. Is it his fault? No. I gave him the instructions. The fault is whoever moved this landmark. Whoever moved this pile of rocks or this this stake in the ground or this mountain or this, they moved it. And the instructions that worked before didn't work anymore. Now, Aaron, come here. Steve, you come back up here. You can stand right here. And Corey, you go back over there and stand at that aisle. Back over there where you started, bud. He'll be hungry. Now, let me show you how this works. I mean, getting lost and getting to the back door is not a big deal. What I'm going to talk about now is a big deal. The church using the Bible is supposed to be a direction giver. It's supposed to tell people how to get to heaven. Here's what the Bible says. We're all sinners. We all owe a price for that sin. That price is separation from God. I'm going to go over here and tell Steve how to get to God. Steve, that first landmark there is a church. Good thing. Good thing. But a church won't get you right with God. This second landmark over here is living a good life, doing good. Trying to always do the best you can and never doing wrong. But it won't get you to God either. The landmark over here is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Steve, if you want to get right with God, if you want to get to heaven, then you got to come this way. Okay? Okay, now stay right here. Now, here's what we've done today. We got all sorts of people saying, you don't have to go to Van Landmark over there. You can stop right here. You just join the church. That'll be good enough to get you right with God, can take care of your sins. It's a lie straight from hell. You got other people saying today, well, all I got to do is be a good guy. All I got to do is obey the rule. We got a loving God. He'll never send anybody to hell if they're trying to be good. God wouldn't do that. That's a lie straight from hell. The landmark that exists that says the only way to get right with God, to get your sins forgiven, is to come by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, is just as true today as when Jesus said it in John chapter 14, verse 6. It has not changed. You don't get into heaven by joining the church. You don't get into heaven by being good. You get into heaven, you get your sins taken care of. You become a member of the family of God by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. All the other ways are wide paths the Bible talks about that lead straight to the devil's hell. And the only narrow path that exists to get you into heaven is to come by Jesus Christ. And I'm standing here this morning telling you, we ain't never going to move that landmark. The moment that this church preaches another way to heaven than the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to shut and padlock the doors. The moment that this church says that there's an alternative for Jesus Christ to get you right with God, we ought to close it up and burn it down. There are churches all over the world today that are preaching a false gospel, that are telling lies to people about how to get right with God, telling lies to people about how to get to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way to hell. Say, Brother Darrell, you ought not to talk like that. I'm sorry, if you don't like it, you can lump it this morning. And I say that in all kindness. I'd rather tell you the truth than tell you a lie. I'd rather tell you how to get to heaven than to have you walk out of here feeling good, knowing that you're headed for hell. You can't write a check. You can't do a deed. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. The only way to get to heaven is to come by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not move that landmark. Okay, Steve, I need you to come back. Corey, you and Aaron, I'm done with you guys. Thanks. I'll just stand right here. Just sit right there for just a second. Third landmark that we ought not move. And I say this to all the Christians in the room. That third landmark is you. You, Steve, stand up here right here for me. You see, God's put people in my life that are landmarks to me. I watch them. I keep my eye on them. They help me set my boundaries. I mean, as I watch them live their life, I say, I want to live my life just like he does. I want to stay in that. I want to stay in that same, within those same borders that he's staying in. And I'm going to keep my eye on him. Now, what's going to happen to me if Steve goes cattywampus and gets out of sorts? Well, I'm going to be right behind him, and I'm going to get out of sorts. That's why I want him to stay right where he is, because I got my eye on him, and I'm going to follow him. Hey, parents, your children are watching you. Hey, grandpas and grandmas, your children are watching you. You're their landmarks. What you do, they're going to see. And if you're not careful, they're going to follow you. You set boundaries. He's also a reminder to me. He's a reminder of how good God's been. He's a reminder of what God's done. I look at his life and I can say, boy, what a sinner saved by Jesus Christ. I'm just teasing him. What a sinner. But God saved him. And I can be reminded by his life, as long as he stands right here, that God loves me too. And God will be good to me too. And by the way, he's my direction giver. If I ever get way off base and I want to know how to get back right to where I was, I just need to come back to where he is. That's why the Bible says to us as Christians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Because somebody has their eye on you. You are their landmark. And they're taking direction, and they're taking reminders, and they're setting their borders by what you do. Thanks, Steve. That's why it's so important. There's that verse in Philippians where Paul is talking to young Timothy, and he says, I want you to be instant. And what that word instant means is you come to a spot and you just stand. He said, Timothy, you're a preacher and you're going to be a pastor. You just need to get to a spot in your life where you stand and don't move. Doesn't matter. You don't. He said, Paul says, when you go to preach, don't preach and tell people what they want to hear. Tell them the truth. Don't be swayed by every wind of doctrine. Don't change your doctrine just because everybody else is changing it. You just stand firm. Don't move the landmarks, God says. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to this morning. God doesn't want you to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants everybody to be saved. God has a spot in heaven for every single person. But I tell you what, if you're a sinner and your sins are not paid for, you're not going to get in. You got to take care of your sins. You don't take care of your sins by being good. You don't take care of your sins by writing a check to somebody. The only person that can take care of your sins is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that when he died on Calvary's cross. And this morning, if you'll come and say, hey, preacher, tell God, hey, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that there's a penalty, a punishment that you deem for my sins. I'm trusting Christ and believing that when Christ died on Calvary, he took all the punishment for my sins upon himself. And I'm trusting him right now and asking him to be my Savior. Take care of all my sins. Make me right with God. Now, if you haven't done that, you say, well, hey, that's too easy. God wouldn't make it that easy. Yes, he did. That's the good news of the Bible. He made it that easy. Because he didn't want you to go to hell. He loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. He's got a place for you in heaven. But you got to come. And you got to receive it. He has a gift, but you got to take it. And if you're here this morning, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you've been here. I don't care how many times you've heard it. If you've never acted on it, I would ask you to act on it today. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Man, woman, boy, girl, again, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many times you've been here. God loves you, and he paid the price for your sins on Calvary by sending Jesus to die for you. And if you just simply come and get it, he'll give it to every single person. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the simplicity of the Bible. I know there's parts that we have to study and dig to understand, but I also know that most of it's so simple that a child can understand it, especially the part where it tells us about salvation, especially the part that tells us about how much you loved us, especially the part that tells us how Jesus took our place by dying on Calvary. And I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that's here this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to their hearts, that if they're here and they've never received Christ as their Savior, that they'd simply make that decision. It's a matter of the will. It's just a matter of deciding to do it. They don't have to feel a certain way. They just got to decide that they need it and that they're going to do it. And so I pray for every single person that's never done it, that today would be the day they decide. They ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. Maybe we've gotten off the spot where you planted us. Maybe we're not where you want us to be in our Christian lives. And I pray, Father, that you'd make us aware of that. We'd come and we'd get right. We'd get back to that spot where you put us to be a landmark for other people. There's somebody here that needs to get baptized, or maybe somebody here that you've spoken to about joining the church. I pray in this time of invitation that they'd be obedient to the Holy Spirit and that they would do it. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.